wish for friends who do stuff together. You wish for you and me.
So SpongeBob.
Yeah, I just watched, I rewatched all that show. Wait a second.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. It's your favorite host of the most, Sam the Bomb. I'm back this week, so shut up. All right. And with me every week is Danny.
Hello, hello.
Nick.
I want to be where the people are.
And, of course, we have a guest this week for this topic, because it's perfect for this guest, Kai Clearance Wheat.
Beneath the pale blue moon, I see your eyes are glistening with so much love. It's tearing you apart from being. You know it.
Yeah,
was that David Bowie?
Yeah, it's David Bowie.
Wait, was that actually David Bowie? Because I'm totally guessing.
The man who sold the world. Da-na-na-na-na. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, can you play Wonderwall?
Yeah. Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Today is gonna be the day that they never throw it back to you.
Hey, I like that song. That song is fire. I like that.
No,
song.
You got the wrong voice for that. You
that's
be
my
like,
go-to karaoke song.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah. You got to do it in karaoke, right?
Yeah. Karaoke.
You know.
Hey.
How many? Yeah, there's a lot of required karaoke songs.
Hey, Kai, thanks for that insert song in our episode.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's what we're talking about today, you fucking bitch ass motherfucker. All right? I'm talking to you, the listeners, who I call names every fucking week. Yeah, see, you missed it last week. I wasn't here to call y'all names. Now I'm here again, so shut up.
No, we had the goofy voice of you.
I mean, yes, I was. I was there. I just only spoke once. Yeah. But yeah, dude, we're talking about insert songs in anime. Talking about our favorite, our top. We got each a small list of three that we each like a lot. Of course, our list could have been way bigger, so we can do this episode again. Absolutely. But for the purpose of this episode, keep it rounded out at three. So we picked three of our favorite insert songs in anime. We'll talk about what an insert song is. We'll get into that. But first, really quick, links.animesummit.net. That's where you can find everything, where to follow and subscribe, find the Discord, and patreon.com/animesummit. And, also, let me tell you about this. Yeah, use Spotify for podcasters. I swear to God, it's free. It's no catch. And also, I will have an extra, like, mini seasonal review app coming out, because I don't want to miss a spring review, okay? So I want to still give you my opinion on spring season. I've never missed a seasonal review app before, and I just got caught up in so much stuff and got really busy, and a lot of stuff went down, and just general life stuff, and that's also why the YouTube is behind, like, 4 weeks, so which I will make up to the YouTube listeners. And, yeah, so I appreciate Danny and Nick carrying my ass through that one, and I'll still put out a little seasonal app that'll go on in all the feeds and all that good stuff. That being said, Danny, tell them about the fucking patron request form that we put out, that we announced a couple weeks ago.
You got 2 more weeks to submit your shows. Saturday, July 22nd is the last day to give us some recommendations.
And then we will pick one and review it.
Yeah.
And then we have...
We're going to put it on a wheel generator, and then it'll just pick up randomly.
And actually, too, then we can have the list of all the rest of them and use it for next time, too.
Yep.
Put those.
Is there a time limit for the... Or release date? Can they pick anything from any year, or are we doing it, like, only a certain period, or what?
Well, obviously,
anything that they want.
Anything that they want, yeah.
There is all no right. limit.
Anything that they
the
want.
The only limit is...
Can't have too many episodes.
It has to be at least 12 to 24, 25 episodes.
Yeah.
At least one season
yeah.
long.
Yeah, and And we're only going to watch, like, the first season of that thing, like, if it's a long thing. And also, it can't be one that we've seen, obviously, already. So our lists are on there and such. So get on that.
Follow the directions, and you'll be fine.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's just dive in. Nick, question of the week.
All right, question of the week here. I got to scroll up. I made my list title way too big. Here we go. Question of the week. This is from TCB, and they ask, which anime and manga will you never get into / refuse to get into for whatever reason?
Love Live. Love Live.
Dude, speaking of Love Live, I was looking up insert songs today, and like half the people put Love Live songs. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't play that shit.
So I've said it before, and I've said it again. I don't like idol shows. That opinion has somewhat changed a little bit. I don't mind them as much. It really turns out that really what I hate is just Love Live. I just don't like it. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. It's the most, it does the power of friendship in the worst, annoying, most and worst annoying way ever. There's not a lot of thought put into every character. People out there, people who are Love Live stands will tell you, they'll take it to their grave that every character is written very well and they all have their own thing, whatever like that. Yeah, except there's like 15 other shows that do it 10 times better. So like, I don't know, Zombieland Saga being one. Symphogear being
Idolmaster, dude.
Idolmaster.
Yori, she's got a five head.
I'm not even big on Idolmaster. Five heads aside, I'm not even that big on Idolmaster, and the first season of that show did it way better than all the seasons of Love Live. I think the art sucks. The character design is plain as fuck. I don't care.
It looks like a mobile game.
I mean, and
I know. But
and it's not because...
It really looks like it.
and for the Love Live fans out there, and for my few friends who play Love Live decks at Y Schwartz, it's not because your decks rocked me at tournaments and gave me PT.
Fuck those decks. Can I come in here and say fuck those decks? Like, seriously?
Oh, okay.
Like,
so you understand.
Cards go for billions of dollars and the Hololive ones, too. And it's like, fuck those guys now. Nah.
Yeah, fuck y'all. See, Kai gets it. Kai speaks for me from now on.
Love Live is good, though. I think it's a good show from what I've seen.
All right. What about you guys?
Kai, you go next.
Yeah, Kai, you go next. Sorry. Yeah,
the one for me, we decided on what we're watching next in my group watch. We just finished rewatching Do It Yourself, and we were deciding on our next one. And the other three motherfuckers were like, we should watch Code Geass.
Oh, no.
And I was like, in what universe do you think that I want to sit through Code Geass? What about Code Geass makes you think that I would be okay watching Code Geass?
Code Geass is memes. It's really funny, actually. You look at it as a comedy, and it's funny.
Ironically, maybe that would be the context. Yeah, I need.
You would probably get something out of it. Yeah. I mean, you're not gonna cry or anything, but you know.
Yeah, it's the I don't know. Intellectual power fantasies are like my anathema. They're poison to me.
It's like a worse Death Note, I think.
There you go.
But I think it's fun. I had fun watching Code Geass, though. I think it was, again, it's memes.
I like the soup meme. I think that's a good meme.
I don't like that meme.
Damn.
Nick, you should watch it. It's full of memes. It's hilarious. Kai points out one meme that he thinks is kind of funny out of it. And then Nick, that's the one I don't like.
I mean, I kind of get, and that's probably the thing I would say. If someone's like looking for me and be like, where are you? I'm at soup. You know, I'd probably say that, but...
You would totally use it.
I'm at soup. All right, what about Nick and Danny? What about you guys?
Danny, you next.
Tatami Galaxy.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Nope.
Just watch it at 0.5 speed.
No.
Yeah, just lower the speed.
Just no. I mean, honestly, anything Misaki Yuasa. Just
damn!
No.
Yeah.
Just a hard no.
Come on,
fuck
no.
You, Danny. Shit!
No, I'll defend Danny on this
I'm
one.
I'm sorry.
I
how dare
that show
you?
Needs to get dubbed. Also, on my Yuasa hate, what is the one with the monsters? Kimono Zume?
Well, that was like his first one. I'll give that a pass.
I was forced to watch that. That is the worst anime I've ever watched. That is like, I hated it.
Yeah, that was like his intro anime. That doesn't even count. Oh, I almost picked Kaiba for one of the insert songs. I should have said that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The tree song, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Sam knows. Fuck you guys. Fuck
best,
Kai and Danny.
Best recommendation Nick ever gave me. I love Kaiba.
Kai, let's do a Misaki Yuasa hate episode.
Yeah, we should.
Hold me back, Sam.
Hey, literally fuck the both of you, all right? Fuck the lot of you.
Oh, God, The Night is Short, Walk on, Girl. Oh, my God, I hated that film.
Me and Knockington are going to fuck off out of here. We're going to do a Miyazaki Iwasa love episode. How about that?
We're going to bruise you up. We're going to bruise you right up.
I'm going to bruise you right up. How about you tip your top, your head to that, governor? Huh? Anyways.
Our broken English.
What about you, Nick? What's one that you refuse to watch?
One Piece, just because it's too long. I know I'll probably like it, but...
Come on, fam.
And then Danganronpa...
Dang it, Grandpa.
Dang it, Grandpa. Yeah, I guess that stuff. I mean, Fate, just because I've watched, like, I like Fate, but I don't know. It's kind of funny that I don't. I've only seen, like, one part of it.
Wait, why Dang it, Grandpa?
I don't know.
Just because.
Nick just hates visual novels. He's like, fucking Fate and Dang it, Grandpa. Stupid. Dumb.
No, Fate is okay, but it is a lot of very talky. It's kind of like, yeah. I'm just going to watch the sacred texts, you know, the doujins, you know.
The sacred texts.
Watch Prismatalia instead.
All right. Good answer. Waifu and Husbando, Kai, you go ahead. You're the guest. You picked him. So why don't you go ahead and do the section?
Augers, actually, I feel kind of bad because both of my picks are not related to the topic of the episode in any way. There are literally no insert songs in either of these two anime. But if you ever do a Beast Face Johnson episode, I would have to insist that these two be included in the bracket. So
only if they win the play-in, Kai.
Okay,
John's just holding
the grudge. Here we go.
That was good content. If anybody didn't get that joke, go listen to our Sailor Moon.
The Magical Girl. Yeah, if you're a patron.
Magical Girl playing bracket. Yeah.
If you're a patron, good. You can listen to the Sailor Moon one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Waifu for the week. I just literally finished reading the 9th volume of Spice and Wolf. So I'm over halfway done reading all the novels before the next anime comes out. So the waifu of the week is Holo the Wise Wolf. Yes. Yes, I know. Oh, I know. Yeah. Everybody is super excited for the new anime. And it's so good. Just reading all the novel. I cannot tell you how excited I am to see it reanimated and see everybody care about Holo again. All right, Husbando for this week. I also just got done watching The 12 Kingdoms, which is an isekai anime.
Oh, I gotta watch that still.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's totally worth your time. And part of it is the character of Rakushun, who is the best boy. And when I tell you that, like, this character made my top characters in anime list, and you know how high of an honor that is, specifically for a male character to do that. It's like... almost inconceivable how awesome Rakushun is, and he fights off poverty, fights off racism. He believes in other people. He's always positive. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. You gotta watch 12 Kingdoms, people.
I imagine his character design. I imagine for some reason I'm imagining if they made a TMNT anime in like a different dimension, you know, like because every TMNT like adaptation is like a new kind of timeline, you know. If they made an anime one, that Splinter would look like that a little bit. If he was younger or something, that'd be cool as fuck.
Yeah. Fucking yeah. He does. They both do have a human form.
Oh, okay. Cool. So. Cool. Hamato Yoshi. Yeah. Shout out Hamato Yoshi. And the Hamato clan. Hell yeah, dude. Okay, let's move to the main topic. Okay. Fucking calm the fuck down. All right. Favorite insert songs in anime. Now, you're probably out there going, Kai. What is the difference between a soundtrack, the OPED, insert song, background music, a score, whatever? Now, let me take you on a little context flashback. Yesterday when we were talking to Kai in the guest channel in our Discord, and Nick was asking for some help, like, hey, like what constitutes exactly like what an insert song is? And I kind of said the same thing. I said, yeah, can you give us your definition? Because Kai is like, he's like obsessed with insert songs. I don't know why. It's fucking funny. It's a meme at this point. But like,
I have been known to run insert only AMQ sessions.
Yeah,
that is a true statement.
Yeah, and I thought, well, okay, fuck you, okay. So then, Nick said, I want to know what the difference between OST and insert songs. Is there a difference? Is like, what is it, you know? And Kai said, I would generally say anything is fair game except the using the OP or ED. This is, and then Nick posted the Gunbuster Battle song and said, is this one? And I said, you know, that one by the one girl from the band Let's Eat Grandma in Cyberpunk. The Let Me Stay at Your Place or whatever. I want to stay at your place. That one that everyone loves. That's an insert song, right? And then me and Kai kind of got into a debate because I thought, well, an insert song is different from the musical score, right? Or the score for the show and or movie or TV show, right? So, like, the example I used with Kai yesterday was, this is a perfect example, Creed 3 or Rocky 3, right? So Creed 3 is full of a bunch of songs by artists, whether they made it for the movie or it's taken from a record of theirs. There's a bunch of different hip-hop artists on there, some R&B artists on there. And then there's the music that is, like, orchestrated and composed by composer Bill Conti. That's, like, used in there. Actually, not Bill Conti. They took some of Bill Conti's, like, works and redid it from the previous Rocky films. And that would count as, like, the background music or the score for the movie, whereas the others with the artists and the music artists would also count as, like, the soundtrack, the insert songs, which also kind of plays into the movie a little bit, the Creed movie series, because his wife is, like, a musician and a composer in the movie. So then Kai was like, here's while I agree on some of that, but then you'd have to say that Before My Body Is Dry from KLK are not insert songs. By your definition, they'd be background music. And I was like, well, no, you're kind of right. Because even though they play that song numerous times as a background song, there's also numerous times they play it where, you know, it's generally, like, heard, right? So, like, then I was doing research today. I'll stop talking, I swear, after this last point, I swear
okay,
to God.
Okay, good, good.
After this last point, let me tell you, I was researching them today where it kind of reinforced Kai's point where it said insert songs are generally songs that are put in not as background music while, like, when you hear a background music or a score in a show or a TV show or a movie, generally something's happening, characters are talking over it, and it's just used as background noise to enhance the scene or enhance that part of the act, right? Whereas an insert song is put in there to enhance that very moment, that very scene, that very moment, that very cut. And genuinely is, you don't hear that much talking by the characters or script. It's, so this can take form of whenever you hear The Pillows on Fooly Cooly, those songs on Kill a Kill. It can be when in K-On! When they're performing, or in Bocchi the Rock when they're performing, and things like that. So,
but there can still be dialogue in it.
Most insert songs
still have some dialogue.
But but generally not as much as if you were just playing a song in the background for the background. Background music that's orchestrated.
You've brought up a ton of things in that intro, and a couple things that I want to address specifically for what you just said. First off, that it's much easier in Western music because you have the idea of licensed music and the score, and those things are very, very separate in how just the conventions of Western entertainment. Whereas something, we have a lot of examples that kind of blur the line more in anime, and we'll get to a couple of those.
Yes.
The other thing that you brought up in your examples is the difference between a diegetic song and an extra diegetic song. If the characters are literally singing the song, like K-On! In the anime, then it's probably an insert song. Like,
That's a hard
inclusionary quality for an insert song.
Yes.
However, there can be extra diegetic songs, and these are your Eye of the Tiger, right? This is your montage.
Like in Rocky 3.
Yeah, because nobody's usually talking that much over a montage.
No.
And then another good example of when it's an insert song is, if they licensed it from an outside artist, and that's kind of the Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Wanna stay at your house tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another big indicator, and so this is all pointing towards the thing where it's there's no like top down prescriptive genre of insert songs. It's kind of a concept that just kind of comes up. In fact, you wouldn't even use the song insert songs in the terms of outside of anime, really. It's really an anime type term. So yeah, I think this is all fan generated, so it's really whatever we want it to mean. But I will say that one other thing we haven't brought up so far is that insert songs usually do have lyrics, not always, and not always intelligible.
Yes.
Again, we've got some more examples, but the lyrics really bring out the fact that you should be paying attention to this song instead of whatever's going on in the story itself. So, and lyrics are also really good at reflecting back on the what's going on in the story itself to be able to apply that the song's lyrics and the intentionality behind them to the story that's occurring on screen. So it's a moment of reflection, I think, for me, is the big defining thing. It's the pay attention to this-ness, the momentality of the insert song.
And that is the conclusion I came to after doing my research today when I was looking for my choices. And I was like, nah, Kai kind of hit it on the nail, on the head yesterday when we were talking about it. So even more reason why you're the perfect guest for this topic.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and so an insert song is kind of like a one-timer, usually. Sometimes they'll replay
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, do you remember episode 14 of Kill la Kill? That I think it's episode 14.
Every episode of Kill la Kill, they play the same four songs.
Yeah, they play Before My Body is Dry like 15 times and only use maybe a half second of it. And it's just a joke, right? Like,
I always picked one of the Kill la Kills, but...
Yeah. And so that blurs the line, or that's, playing with the trope. But there's also kind of borderlines. I think the thing that blurs it the most is character themes. And I really wanted to specifically bring
up a couple
examples.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, in Kill la Kill, right? Ragyo's character theme is Blumenkraz, right? There's going to be a lot of singing this episode, so bear with
God, it. Please not too much.
or like Penny and Stocking's transformation theme, Fly Away Now, Fly. Like, that does have lyrics. That is, Teddy Lloyd did that song specifically
for them.
That's
an insert song, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. Is it?
It's not the OP or ED.
It doesn't have meaningful lyrics that contribute to the...
That's more of a transformation song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more part of... Right. In my opinion, that's
more
part of the
would that
soundtrack.
Be considered...
Yeah.
Would, like, a Sailor Moon transformation be an insert song?
The other one I have is for you is Credence Justitiam, which is Mommy's transformation theme from Madoka Magica. And it's like...
I think maybe
lyrics,
if it only happens one time and it's, like, a big deal...
That's what I'm saying. The momentality.
Yeah,
sure,
the
right?
momentality. The right word, yeah.
But if they do it every episode, like Sailor Moon, like every single one, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Credence Justitiam is used 3 times in Madoka Magica. So it's like, I don't know. Does that preclude it
I'll
from being
allow
an insert
it.
Song? I don't know. Yeah.
Viewers, but just like generic, like background, like do 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 do, just like walking around. That we're not counting that.
that's OST. That's a different episode, right? The do from Melancholy Viewer.
Or when Honey Bear walks around, normally you can hear.
Put in like a trombone.
Right? Yeah. There's a tuba.
Oh, tuba. There you go.
Or one of my favorite soundtrack songs, which is also if you watch Honey Bear walking around. And you play The Goose Walks High from Aristocats. It's really fucking funny.
Oh, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's super fucking funny, dude. It's hilarious. Anyways, Kai, great point.
Would the
Nick!
I Want songs be considered the Disney? All the Disney stuff is insert songs, right?
No, because those are musicals. That's part of the thing, so it doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, that's another blurry area.
Yeah,
musicals.
No,
if it's a musical, it's an insert song. They only sing it once.
Oh
yeah,
my
but
God.
Stuff like Les Mis is like entirely singing. So is the whole thing insert songs?
Yeah,
they're musicals.
It is.
The point is
you're right.
For them to be musicals.
It is all insert songs.
It's not all insert. Okay.
It's insert songs all the way down. All
right, Kai,
number
you go
one
ahead.
Record.
Will you start with your list and then talk about it and let's intertwine these themes and points that we just made. And then you hit us with some knowledge.
Are we gonna flip flop between all of us? I feel like that's a better way to do it, right?
That is how I said we were gonna do it before we started recording, and you weren't listening. So, all right, let's go ahead. Go ahead, Kai.
So we're doing one. We're each doing one, and then we're gonna cycle around.
I can't. I'm leaving this in. Are you
serious?
It's
not just. It's not just these two. It's.
Well, no, Sam, because the way you know, Sam, the way you answered that is you never directly said yes. You just kind of said another sentence.
So, because I said it before we started recording. Because I already explained this.
I need it to be Nick proof. You understand?
I literally said that's how we were doing. I'm leaving all this in. You guys see the
No, Sam, just say yes. I asked the question. Just say yes.
I don't have to answer because I already explained it.
You see, this is the problem. All right.
The problem is you not listening to begin with.
Nick, anytime we do a list like this, we always do a roundtable discussion where everyone.
Because I don't want to filibuster.
One pick at a time.
So yes,
we have done this a million times.
Oh my God! Okay, God, just go ahead. Guy, just go ahead.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and
anytime at all. Down here,
in the deep blue sea. Yeah.
Oh, I love that episode of SpongeBob.
Yeah, I just watched. I rewatched all that show recently.
Wait, is that actually on SpongeBob?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's the best insert song ever. All right, am I going?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
all right. I don't know if you know me, but one of my favorite things, one of the things I've made most content about on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/clearanceweek, go check it out, includes the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Link in the description. Hit that smash and subscribe button, bitch.
Yep, smash, subscribe, like my favorite. Follow me on Twitter, too. So in the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, there is an in-universe performance wherein there's a school festival and two of the band members can't play, so they stumble across Haruhi and Yuki. Haruhi gets dressed up as a bunny girl and sings and plays rhythm guitar. Yuki does the fucking fire solo as the mage outfit that they use later in the series. It's very good. The song that they play is called God Knows. It is my favorite thing in anime, probably ever. If we're talking about the momentality of something, then this is the moment that made me love anime, I think, watching this. The animation.
It's a good song.
It's
and,
a good
the way
song.
That it, the way that it comes up and everything, too.
Yeah, it's a surprise to you as the viewer, just as it's a surprise to Kyon.
It's so over the top. Like, it's way better than it should be.
It's so much. Yeah, and that, a large part of
that. Is that the joke? Is that, like, it's way too good for a high school song?
Not really. There's a lot that goes into God Knows, and I'll describe a lot about it because I could literally talk about this, and I have talked about this for hours. But I will say that the animation quality is very, very high, and part of why it became a meme. You can see her, like, the even just the gif of her shouting and at the loud parts is it was animated by the late Futoshi Nishiya. You can go on my YouTube channel and watch my eulogy video where I talk about all the art directors and everybody that passed away in the arson attack on Kyoto Animation. And like, God Knows is like the definitive insert song for a generation. Like, it is quite possibly one of the most popular anime songs to exist, especially for anybody that was around back.
Well, it has the most views on YouTube for an anime song just because it hasn't got taken down yet.
Yeah, right.
I think it did get taken down a few times and then it came back up or whatever. I'm curious, like, if YouTube never took anything down, which would be like the most popular songs? Because a lot of times they'll just take them down. But
I will tell you though that like
there's like 130 million views on it.
I used too much footage in my disappearance thing, and it got takedown notices, but it didn't get takedown notices until like 5 years after I recorded it, because the rights for the English dub were in limbo, and nobody, you know. No, Kyoto Animation wasn't out there doing it. It was whoever had the rights. It used to be Sunrise, I think, back in the day, or for the English dub. Anyway, God Knows has an English dub. It has a dub in every language that the show has been dubbed into. And I would highly recommend everybody go watch the Russian version of God Knows, because it's also one of my favorite things. God Knows is the performance of God Knows and Lost My Music led so much, or it feels very much like it's like a you're not talking about Macross, are you? You took off Do You Remember Love, Nick?
Oh, we should still mention it.
Yeah, so it feels to me like if you've seen Do You Remember Love when Lin-Min May performs at the end. It's like such a big like climax thing, right? And God Knows to me is like the definitive insert song for a generation that, you know, that was in Do You Remember Love. And
yeah,
also,
that was the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
Was that the, that was the 80s, right?
I think it was the 80s. Not sure. I'm not the Macross expert here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Although I do, yeah.
85.
Okay. And yeah, I would say so 84. Much how the animation on God Knows and how it was received led into K-On. I think you could really draw that together, you know? And then I could talk for literally hours about how reflective it is on the characters, how the lyrics of God Knows apply to the relationship between Kyon and Haruhi. And how, like, this is Haruhi's way of being able to say thank you to Kyon in the way that she would never allow herself. And there's a lovely scene under the tree after she performs. And, ah, God, the whole, you know, things you do aren't usually things people praise you for, that whole bit. I know you guys know. I know you guys love Haruhi as much as I do.
It's my favorite.
that's my spiel.
I watched the movie on my phone. I got to keep saying that.
Oh, fuck.
Actually, I like Harvey, but I gotta.
He probably watched it while he was on the toilet.
On the toilet.
The greatest guy is like,
oh God,
such disrespect.
That's what I don't understand. The Harvey movie. Why do people like that one so much? I watched it and it was like it was pretty good, but you know,
you don't put respect, Nick.
Well, you can go find something like 3 hours of me talking about the film on YouTube if you want to know.
Jesus,
why it's the greatest anime film ever made? Certainly.
Yeah,
I need some of that Kai focus in my life.
That's right. The autism. Get you some.
The tism. I have the opposite of that. I have the mizzy. I got nothing.
So
I'm like Homer Simpson thinking of a donut.
So, Kai, you're basically saying that song walked so K-On could run and kind of just...
Oh, I'm 100% saying yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hell yes. All right. Who's next? Danny?
Me.
All right, what do you got?
So I picked Dance of the Spirit by Ko Kia from Ancient Magus Bride. It is the Fairy Queen Titania's entrance. I would say despite having that particular scene some directing choice issues upon her arrival, because there is this sequence of just the camera kind of slowly going up and all you see for like maybe 5 minutes is Titania's boobs.
I watched it. Those boobies were just sitting there.
Yeah!
It's like, wow.
But I will say it is completely accurate, because if you have those big ass boobies, they are definitely jiggling all over like that. So it is somewhat accurate, instead of just like how, you know, typical like boob physics is in anime and everything like that.
Boob accurate. That's important.
She got that Gynax bounce, yeah. Dude. The Gynax bounce.
But overall, the tone and the mood of that whole entrance and just kind of it's very like Irish folk festive chant. It really sets the scene, and Titania is just fucking riding on a donkey, and a dog is leading the donkey away. So you can definitely tell and feel that you are, you know, you're in the presence of the Fairy Queen and everything like that. It's very, very much cottagecore, and you have, what's his name? The rock golem is just saying, I guess, like a chant about the Fairy Queen and everything like that. It's a really good scene. I really enjoyed that scene overall, and the song is just so good. I could probably listen to it all day. Kokia, her 2008 album, Fairy Dance, is pretty much It has a bunch of Irish folk inspired compositions in it, which I find fairly interesting because you don't hear too many modern artists doing any folk Irish folk songs. So and it, to me, it's just a very soothing ambiance kind of thing for me. So, and it really sets how the show is portrayed and everything like that, at least the first season, in my opinion.
Fits with the setting.
Yes. Yeah. Especially like the context on what's going on in that episode. Because, you know, you have Chise, who before she was fighting off some sort of spirit, and then she like kind of hurt herself in a way. And so pretty much Titania was there to kind of not only introduce herself, but also give her assistance in healing Chise all at the same time. So, but yeah, that's all I got really. So,
okay, Knockington.
All right. So my first pick is from the show, or the OVA, Gunbuster from 1988. And this recently had a new Blu-ray release, which Anime World Order did a review on the OVA pretty recently, like this past week. So if you like Gunbuster, if you're not sure if you should watch it, go listen to the Anime World Order episode. They don't actually spoil it, so they do a good job talking about it without spoiling it. But yeah, by the way, GOAT anime podcast, Anime World Order. Just calling it now. Just even above ours. They're better than us. Okay, anyway.
They are. They're really good.
Dude, even in 2005, like they started in like 2005 or 2006.
They're the OGs, dude. They're like...
Yeah, they're Gen X, and like they're... Holy shit, they're so good. But anyway... Like,
yeah, they're actually open about shit, and they're not sipping on Haterade all day, which is...
Yeah, they do tend to like a lot of the more like older stuff, but they do like some of the new stuff too.
Sure,
they like to joke around about like the weird like OVAs and stuff. But on the episode, Gerald was saying that Gunbuster was his number one favorite OVA, and like everyone's like, well, yeah, I can't argue with that because like it's easily a top three all time anime OVA. Like I don't even think it's close. I think for me, it's number one. I know a lot of people like Giant Robo. There's a bunch of other ones. But yeah, like this is my personal favorite OVA. And the song I'm picking is called Top No Nirai Fly High. And this is by Kohei Tanaka. And this was from episode 5 in Gunbuster. This is really kind of the big, like, epic battle moment with the Gunbuster itself, where they're defending the Earth from the space monsters. As this like fucking like super epic 80s music is playing, and it's just like the most inspirational thing ever, especially like the way that that they're both dealing with the time dilation in the series, because like what happens is they have to travel at the speed of light in order to do certain missions, and when they do that, it slows down time for them, but time proceeds normally for other people. And you know, it's kind of like Interstellar, I guess. But I've talked about Gunbuster a whole bunch on the podcast, so you guys already know. We did a review way back when. I don't know how good that one is, but just listen to Anime World Order. They did a good job. But yeah, this song is just like, it makes me tear up every time. Like I can't even like think about it, especially like the YouTube videos with like the intro where they're talking and Noriko is telling Hironi-sama to pull herself together as like everything's getting destroyed. And it's just like, and then the music starts playing and it's like these like tingling songs, and it's like, you hear the scream, it's like, whoa, and then like they're just like blasting and doing their super robot moves, and it's just fucking so sick. So yeah, I think this is probably my favorite insert song. I'm just putting it as the first one, but I mean, I'm just trying to mix it up here. But yeah, definitely one of the most epic moments in anime, in my opinion. This was Studio Gainax, directed by Hideaki Anno. Yeah, there you go. Any thoughts, anybody?
Yeah, I love Gunbuster, and that moment in particular, like
the last two episodes
song
are just
start in this video. Tier. This video is like five minutes long.
It's about a minute and 40 in. You're not gonna have time to watch them by the time we get to the next one. But have you seen Gunbuster, Danny, or no? You didn't like it.
Danny.
Okay. Annie's cutting out. Her connection's cutting out.
I liked Gunbuster for what it's worth.
You're breaking my heart.
Even Kai likes Gunbuster.
Gunbuster.
You're breaking my heart.
Did you do an eye catch episode? Do an eye catch.
Oh, that'd be a good eye catch one. They had a little Sailor Moon clips in Gunbuster too.
Yeah,
Gunbuster also. You can't say Gunbuster 2 because there's a thing called Gunbuster 2. But
yes, if you want to learn about the confluence or the crossover between Gunbuster and Sailor Moon, you can head on over to Clear and Sweet on YouTube and watch my Sailor Moon video, the iceberg video.
Kai's otakudom puts us to shame.
Okay. Yeah, dude. Yeah, Gunbuster's great. I love Gunbuster. Oh my god, fucking, I just saw Nick's, the way he put his font, Nick's list, it's like the biggest fucking font.
It's in like a ridiculous, it's in lobster font.
Let's just make it bigger like this.
There you go, yeah. See, now I can find it better.
Yeah. So we've talked about Kevin Pankin before, when we did our Maiden Abyss Dawn of the Deep Soul in season 2 review or whatever. And yeah, man, he's just really fucking cool. He's like, the way he composes music for Maiden Abyss is amazing. And this is right in episode 1 of season 1. It's called Hanazev Cardina, composed by Kevin Pankin, performed by Takeshi Saito. He does the vocals. This is heard right at the end of the first episode of Maiden Abyss, season 1, and it's...
Oh, yeah, this song.
The world
right,
that...
Right when, like, the frickin' sun rises and stuff, it starts.
Yes, yes.
Good moment.
And so, like, you know, he composes a lot of the music for, you know, whether you call it background music or whatever, right? But this song in particular... It plays in a few moments, I think, throughout the show, but it only plays in really surreal moments like this. And here's the thing, okay? This show pulls the sneaky on you a little bit. It starts out with the art style and everything, okay? And it kind of, like, it sets it up for it to be, like, this grand adventure, right? That they're going to go down the abyss because Riko has a calling to find her mom and whatever the hell. And it's just like this really beautiful scene with this really beautiful song played in the background. And you're thinking you're going to dive into this very wondrous, full of imagination, Willy Wonka type shit. And then it turns out to be this really fucking fucked up, like, thing, right? And it's just kind
of... But the schnozberries do taste like schnozberries.
You can eat them. Yeah, it's fine. But, like...
It'll just break your arm afterwards.
Yeah, you'll just...
This is, like... The opportunity on how large the abyss hole really is.
Yeah, because they're looking down it. Yeah. They're like,
if you think about it, this is a character theme for the abyss.
Yeah. That's actually a good way to say it. Like, I know you're kind of memeing, but no, for real.
Like, we said character themes don't count. Wait, do they? I don't know.
I didn't change
it. Yes, they do.
If anything, you chad. So shut up. Dude. No, seriously, though. If you ever just get the time to, like, listen to... And by the way, let me say this, because I forgot to fucking say this in the beginning. I'm only going to put a few clips of our topics in here. I'm not going to put all of them. But I've made a YouTube playlist of where you can go watch these scenes and listen to the songs. Okay? And I'll make...
Yeah, we can link that in the show notes.
And I'll put that in the show notes. It'll be, like, a playlist by our YouTube channel or whatever. So that way you can go see it or whatever. But I will put the clips of our topics in here so you can hear those. That being said, you know, make sure you go and listen in the appropriate places to support the artists and stuff. But, yeah, if you ever get a chance to listen to just the Maiden Abyss soundtrack in general, aside from this song, it's just really good. But this song in particular with the singing by Takeshi Saito, it kind of sets you for this... It almost like it's supposed to put you in a good mood before you go down. It wants you to, like, be in an okay mood, be ready for adventure. And then you go down, before you go down and see the fucking utter horror that's, like, in the abyss. But, yeah, great song, great show, great anime, great manga.
Tone control. Sam, I have a question. Would you say that you would watch any anime that had Kevin Pankin as a composer in it?
Probably not, no, but... Damn. You were trying to make me watch Bison Wolf, right?
Yeah, I was totally...
Yeah, don't play me.
Pulled a little sneaky on you.
Bitch, you thought. You thought. You thought, bitch.
Sam, what's your grudge against Bison Wolf?
Seriously. Sam hates economics.
That show sucked. I don't like that one.
Sam doesn't trust like that. When there's a girl who looks like a wolf.
Yeah, what the hell?
Doesn't trust like that.
It's a wolf face Johnson. I mean, what are you talking about? What do you want?
She's like only good thing about it. Anyways, go ahead.
All right, am I up?
Yes, you're up.
Are we
headed better swing. Give him the pepper.
We're headed to a new place, and the new place is Antarctica.
Take me there.
That's right. That's right. Well, we got to put our youth in motion first, because my pick for my second favorite insert song in anime is Haruka Toku, which translates to far away. It's from A Place Further Than the Universe.
Underrated. The show's underrated.
So is that your first link or your second link? You got two of them in there.
I put the second link, which is the actual
scene. Is that Ocarina of Time link or Wind Waker link?
Oh, nice. Thank you, Danny. I was looking for that. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, that's why I asked you what episode it was.
That's
from.
Some good running animation. So. They have good gait.
God, the animation is so good in this. This is episode 2 of A Place Further Than the Universe.
Dude, they run and like Tom Cruise.
The one girl's in the track club, and that's like a thing that comes back later in the thing. Anyway, go watch A Place Further Than the Universe. But in episode 2, they're trying to sneak into this Antarctica. They're trying to go to Antarctica, but they need to get in with the Antarctica people on the to go to Antarctica. And they're you know, having this whole little scene, a moment of being they don't want to be seen, or they have to get somebody to get them in. And then right then, the people that they don't want to see, the mom's friends, show up, and Shirase shouts "Run!" and it goes like straight into this insert song, and the entire. And they get the next, you know, 2 minutes is just them running away from these characters. And what's so great about this is that it's thematically perfect, right? You have all this talk in episode 1 about how the characters aren't moving anywhere. They want to do something with their lives. And then you hit this moment where it's just like, it starts, you know, it's very, very visual and oral with an OR,
they're also having really fun while they're running too.
Right. Like it's not like a danger thing, and the song kind of clears you into that it's very much like a we're doing something with ourselves now thing, or we've crossed the borderline, the giddy giddy high ikenai borderline.
Right.
And then they're doing something. So
would you say their youth is in motion?
That's exactly what I would say. Yes, of course.
I'm sorry, that line was so cheesy when you said that.
I would also say the girls are all right, you know, because I like all the characters in A Place Further Than the Universe.
You gotta say that when you're at Otakon. I feel like my youth is in motion.
Yeah, I'm only 34
when you're waiting in line and the line is starting to move.
That's so cringe, Nick. I would do it, yes.
I'm just imagining somebody saying that in real life. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah. It's one of those things you can get away with in fiction that you can't really.
Yeah, especially in anime, you can get away with it.
But I don't know. I would say that A Place Further Than the Universe is one of the shows that is kind of the most true to life in a lot of ways. Not that I know 4 high school girls who go to Antarctica, but. That it does feel, or those emotions and those ways of behaving feel so true and so relatable. And I think that's the success of this scene.
I got to rewatch this. I went to that episode to watch and I'm all like, good.
Yeah, don't watch the Beatles song movie. That, you confused it with that one time.
I know, I'm sorry. At least I said universe. Instead of across the universe.
Also, my other story about A Place Further Than the Universe is that they announced in January that there was going to be an English dub. And then...
Finally.
Right. And then in February, I DM'd them on Twitter and I was like, so, hey, what's the status of the dub? And they say, coming soon.
Oh, my God.
And then in July, I DM'd them on Twitter again being like, so, like, geologically soon or like come on, what are we doing here?
Jeez.
Now you got to DM them on Threads. They moved to Threads. That's what happened, Kai.
Yeah, probably. Like that's any better. Now Zuckerberg's in control instead of Elon. Great.
Great. It takes a real talent to make Zuckerberg look like the good guy.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that.
I could get started on all the AI stuff and the open source research. Yeah, it's not like, the place. It's not the place. Who's next?
Money is all fake.
Come on. Danny. I will rant if you give me the opportunity.
Danny is next, and I totally forgot about the crossing universe thing. That's really hilarious. Okay, go ahead, Danny.
So my pick is from Cowboy Bebop. The song is called Green Bird by Gabriella Robin, and it's episode 5.
Wasn't that by Lynyrd Skynyrd? Just kidding.
Oof.
Now
better
I lost
talk,
my train
or I'm
of
gonna
thought.
Get the good acoustic guitar
God
out and start
damn
the,
it.
Start
no,
it.
Like I hate it when Nick catches me off guard because like I don't have like a snarky comeback. Ugh.
You gotta be on Twitter more, Danny.
That's I all am. That site Where are is. You?
It's just all snarky comebacks.
Jeez. Anyway, yeah. So, Cowboy Bebop, the episode "Bad Lad of the Fallen Angels." The song I'm referring to is Green Bird, and it's the scene where Spike and Vicious are fighting in the church up on the balcony with the huge ass fucking window. It's a gorgeous scene, practically one of my all-time favorite scenes of the entire show. And you know, Vicious yells at Spike, you know, then why you're still alive? And Spike kind of gets pushed out of the window and stuff, and that's kind of when the song starts, and Spike is getting hit, like his life flashing before his eyes. You kind of get to see a little bit of what he did in his past, and you see Julia in it and everything. You know, so it's a very impactful scene. Not only that, but, you know, Spike is falling. I mean, I don't know how many feet, but it's practically like a 3-story or maybe 5-story building.
I think
so,
it's a church, right?
Yeah, it's the church. Like, it's the cathedral. So we don't even, at this point, you know, it's episode 5, so it's pretty early in the show. And we're seeing him fall out of the window, and we don't even know if he's going to survive at this point. So the song is, it's just so, it really like kind of sets you on like, is Spike going to make it? Because at the end of the song, once the song ends, it's Spike kind of like limping, and then all of a sudden you see Julia come out of a door. And then Spike just falls to the ground. And so at that point, you kind of think, okay, well, Spike is definitely on the ground at the cathedral now. So, but yeah. But luckily, I mean, he survives. He's Spike. So he made it. Yay. But it's... I just love that song. It's...
Yeah, the stained or the glass in the slow motion as that song plays. It's just such a
yeah,
mood.
Yeah, it really is. And then like the grin, like because he also as he falls out of the window, you know, he throws a grenade at Vicious. So and then there's a couple of scenes where you know you see Spike falling, and then you see the glass, you know, everywhere, and then you're still and then another shot is looking at the window, the stained glass window of the church. And then after a while there's more flashbacks, but then there's another shot of the stained glass window and then it blows up. So
and isn't this also like the end of Cowboy Bebop, right? Spoilers?
No, this is episode 5.
Right,
so this
I know,
is
but it's like
pretty
calling back or with the final battle between Vicious and Spike, isn't that
yeah
in the
yeah.
same cathedral or am I missing
no, 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 no. That's
no.
a different spot.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. it's still very early on, and you know, with that explosion with the grenade and everything, you know, now at that point we also think that Vicious is also dead, because how can you survive a grenade like that? So but even then, with Cowboy Bebop, it's pretty episodic, so we don't even see Vicious until, like, I think, like, the very end as well. So but yeah,
so Cowboy Everyone Bebop, go watch
Cowboy Bebop.
Best anime of all time, question
cheed
mark?
I think an American audience would probably vote it number one. No, they put like Attack on Titan now or something like that.
I would probably also say maybe a lot of Westerners like Full Metal Alchemist more.
I think it's Attack on Titan now. I think that's above it.
But I mean, I like Cowboy Bebop.
I'm not saying I agree. I think Bebop is great.
I think it's amazing. And
Japan hates it. They don't get it.
for what it from the 90s. I mean, I think it's still. It has not been, I mean, it's not outdated, in my opinion, at least.
I will disagree, and I will say, not on the fact that Cowboy Bebop is the greatest anime ever made, because I wouldn't argue against that, but I will say that Walk in the Rain is a better song from Cowboy Bebop.
Is that from the movie? No, that's something else. Okay. Just kidding.
No, that's...
In the Rain. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a good one.
Walk
There's
in
so
the
many
rain
good
is
picks
really
from
good.
Cowboy
Actually,
Bebop.
Walk in the Rain is
Space
in,
Lion is great too.
Walk in the Rain is in episode 5 as well.
Damn.
Is that really?
It is.
Dude,
yes.
How about episode 5? One of
the
GOAT episodes ever.
Walk in the Rain starts while Spike is walking to the church.
We could rename this episode like best anime episodes of all time, and it would probably be a pretty similar list.
I will say too that Cowboy Bebop is one of those shows where it's like powered by music. In this case, like jazz and orchestra.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of like Samurai Champloo is like with hip hop. You know, whatever that kind of thing. Or
and then
whatever.
Who did not Yuki Kadra. I cannot think of the composer's name. What's her
Yoko
name?
Yoko Kanno.
Yoko Kanno.
She did this one. She did the song, right?
Mm. She composed it.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
The singers don't matter. They're just tools.
Okay.
They're like hammers.
Nick.
I disagree.
Just kidding.
Get out of here.
Nick is like, you ever read
like,
Fist of Summit?
It's like saying actors don't matter. Just put me in a Mission Impossible. See how that turns out.
You ever read Fist of Summit? That's a good manga. I don't know who wrote it, but who cares?
No, the writers are the only ones that matter. The actors don't matter. You know, just throw me in there. You know,
throw me in, coach. All right. Yeah. No. Cowboy Bebop. Yeah.
Love it.
I was gonna pick it, but I feel like that's more of like something I would pick for all around soundtrack. You know.
I was about to say something else about.
But I agree.
Cowboy Bebop, but I'm gonna save it for honorable mentions before the last one. But yeah, dude. Okay, Nick, what do you got?
All right, let me find my list here. Oh,
I have
there
to
it is.
Screen cap this and show people. Like, it's so fucking funny. Like, Nick's
it's so
list.
Huge, dude. It's 107 point font. All right. So I'm going to piggyback off Kai. Kai walked so I could run with my superior pick to God knows. Actually, it's not better, but it's pretty good. Fua Fua Time by Hiroyuki Maezawa and Tsumugi. Oh, shoot. That's the characters. Is that? Tsumugi's the character.
Tsumugi is a character in Kaelin, yes.
God damn it. Okay. Who composed it? The composer who did it. Somebody find that for me. I'm going to keep talking. I did a quick Google search, and like I hate how they do this. They do the like the singers before the composer. It should be the composer first.
Dude, we found it earlier, and
last.
We told you.
No, you didn't. Somebody paste it in there. Someone go paste it.
I did. All right, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
All right. It's from Kaon. From 2009/2010, this is the song that their band sings. This has been a while since I watched K-On. This was like 7 years since I watched it. Their band is named Fua Fua Time, right? Or is that wrong?
It's called Hokago Tea Time after school.
Oh, Hokago Tea Time. God damn it, dude. I'm remembering the Demolition D video where Moogie steals the fruit. I'm a fake fan.
That's good. Yeah, the Demo D
I'm still more of a real Sailor Moon fan than all of you guys who got the Sailor Moon song wrong.
On Anime Visa quiz, you just guessed the right season of Sailor Moon.
I was the only one who got it right, and you guys all got it wrong. I'm the real fan. All right. This is funny. So, Fufu time. It's similar to God Knows a little bit. This one's it's different in the sense that, like, it's kind of like a mix between that and Place Further the Universe, because, like, what they're doing is they're living out their high school years, and, like, that's kind of what this song represents. It's Fufu time is the high school years for them. It's like the halcyon days, you know, the bittersweet, like, you got to use it now because this is the only chance you get. And like at one point Yui like loses her voice, and this might have been in season two actually, but this was season one.
She lost her voice.
Okay, yes. Season one she loses her voice. Season two the whole bunch of other stuff happens. But Pigtail Girl, dude, I cannot think of names right now. Azusa, yes. She's in season two.
Fake fan.
Fufu time. It's very catchy. They got a music video for it. They sing it a few times, I think. And what you do see is you see them practicing it too. Like the thing with God Knows is you never see them practice it. So they're just like, they just show up. And like, it's like, holy fuck, dude. But.
Okay. I take umbrage. But so Yuki Nagato is actually an alien.
Yeah. She cheats. Dude.
She takes one look at the
she's an AI. She's ChatGPT and Mid Journey or whatever.
There we go.
But Fufu time is like, it's nice because like they're playing it in front of their classmates. They've practiced. Well, K on the joke is that they never practice, but they do practice. they've practiced drinking tea and eating cakes. So it's just kind of like a culmination of like that part of the school year, and it's very heartwarming, very bittersweet, and it's all around fluffy, which is the name of the song. So I'm picking that one. It's classic. It also contrasts with my other two songs, which are more epic. So I wanted to pick something a little softer.
Yeah.
Kaon's great.
Softest thing.
Kaon's great. I support this pick.
Nice. And by the way, Kaon is better than that other show you guys were talking about. Bochi? Kai, you got to back me up here.
Okay, calm down.
Go check
Kaon is... Go Bochi check. Is great.
Slow down.
Gotta check Bochi's the anime, Anime Brothers episode where Nick and I guested to talk about Bochi, and we both said Kaon was better. Damn.
I don't think anything is better than Kaon in that genre.
Haterade.
Cute girls genre. Kaon's number one. All right. Anyway. All right,
calm down, dude.
Fufu time. There you go. Everybody check that out. Who's next? Sam?
I can't really
see your list there, Sam. I can't find you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there it is.
Sam's list.
Here, let me fix that for you. Okay.
Thank you.
I shrunk your...
Oh, my God. What is going on here on the show sheet?
Nick's list.
Sam's list.
And then just Danny's list and Kai's list. Okay, here we go.
Did you guys see I put the cheese on the top part there?
No,
cheese.
I don't. No.
This one, dude, man. Like, I chose this example because this is one of those examples where it enhances the very moment. Like the very thing that's happening. And I think, so this is from My Hero Academia, season 4, episode 76, which is the raid on, I forget his name. The guy with the plague mask, his name is Overhaul. I don't remember his real name, but Overhaul is his villain name. The raid on Overhaul's complex. And they're going to rescue Eri, the little girl who has the power to like, reverse time in a single aspect or object or whatever. And so, you know, they're trying to rescue this girl, right? Because the villains are using her, Overhaul is using his power to like.
Some, Overhaul's real name is Kai Chisaki.
Chisaki, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the way Deku screams his name is so badass. When he's like going after him. Dude, okay, so they're basically, I'm not going to go into details, but they're basically torturing this girl, okay? And to extract, like, her quirk and put it in, like, and weaponize it. And so Deku's trying his hardest, at this point, there are so many other heroes who are injured almost to the point of death. And he's basically, like, the last hope to, like, grab Eri and rescue her. And Chisaki's kind of getting away with her. And Deku's, like, jumping towards... He's out of reach, okay? He's way out of reach. And so this song starts playing, and it's called Might Plus You, or Might and You. It's composed by Yuki Hayashi, who composes a lot of My Hero's music. But this has accompanied vocals by Michaela Phillips, who was on American Idol. And I believe she has got some singles out as well. So this song is actually a ballad arrangement of Yusei Run by Yuki Hayashi, accompanied by Michaela Phillips' vocals. And I think actually the first time you hear it is in Heroes Rising, the movie. But I've never seen the movies, so this was the first time I heard it. This is kind of, in this part of the show, production kind of takes a dip or whatever. But like in this episode particularly, and in this fight, it just is like turned up to 11, right? Because they have to, you know what I mean? They have to like make it look really good. But like Deku needs her to like jump. Like her only hope is for her to jump, right? And she's really scared. And then she jumps. And then this song is like playing. Lyrically, it's like this very cheesy, corny, like, if we stand together, we can survive, and we can, don't worry, I'll rescue you and whatever kind of thing, whatever. And it's corny, right? The lyrics are corny. But it's like, lyrically, it's everything that Deku believes in as a hero, what a hero should be. And so that's why it's just, like, really fucking cool. And it's, like, it has, like, this sense of urgency, but it's still a ballad. And it's just, like, it kind of really hits you in the moment, and it's really cool, man. I fucking love it.
You know, for a ballad, it really works with the context of what's going on. And especially for, like, a shonen to have a ballad like this.
In the middle of chaos.
Yeah.
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 There's people lying on the floor dead. Almost dead, people who have lost hope already. Like it's Deku sees Eri and overhaul Chisaki, and he goes, "Brother, it's me and you, and it's not gonna be me. I'll tell you right now." And then he proceeds to mollywop this motherfucker up and down the streets, up and down the sky, literally over there, over here, and over there, and on the cloud. And he says, "Fuck you and your mother and your father and your grandmother and your grandsister. I'm gonna put you to the street." And he, and it's badass, dude. Fuck! I watched that scene.
I'm gonna clock you so silly your mother won't even recognize you.
He hits him so hard he comes off the ground, motherfucker. And like it's so badass, dude. And I watched that scene over and over again because Yutaka Nakamura helped with some of the cuts in that, too, by the way. And he's one of my favorite key animators and art directors. And I just, like, he's famous for the Utapon, if you guys don't know that. But, like, so, like, it just, like, I love it, dude. It's so good. It's a good moment. And the song, I listen to the song a lot, too, and it's just, God. Okay, anyways, go ahead before I pop off again. I want to, like, fight somebody now. Let's fucking fight, dude. Kai, you want to fight?
Yeah, so if you, like me, think that shonen and all its associated themes are stupid and have no tolerance for it, then let's go somewhere else. I'd like to take
you... How dare you call me out, Kai, with my last pick.
I would like to take you to a place somewhere far away. That is on Mars.
Is it further than the universe?
Well, that's in our solar system. It's terraformed Mars.
Ha!
What are we talking about?
He made a reference to your last one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They go to Mars in Cowboy Bebop.
Now I'm thinking about terraforming Mars, the board game. And I have a whole
set. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too.
Now I'm thinking of Terraform Mars, the anime.
Oh God!
Imagine if they got that red eye over to Mars. What do you think would happen to Arya?
All right. Anyways, Kai.
Can you believe? Oh, talking about Mars still. Can you believe we didn't have a Carolyn Tuesday song on this?
You know.
Yeah, that was on my.
I thought Danny was gonna do it.
I thought Danny was gonna do it too.
Yeah.
I really thought about it because
it wasn't my type
of music. All of that whole like everything that is in that
So many musicians worked on that. Like, so awesome.
You know what my favorite is? It's the it's called Galactic Mermaid, and it's the one where it's like, fucking bullshit.
Fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking bullshit.
Son of a bitch, motherfucker.
All right, save it for the honorable
mentions. That's an insert
song. Go ahead, guy.
It is? Okay, anyway. So we're in Aria, the animation in the third season, Aria, the Origination. My third and final pick for best insert song of all time, one that never fails to make me cry, is Alice's Canzone. In episode 9 of Aria, the Origination, which if you've seen it, I don't need to tell you. I know, Nick, you're the only person here who's seen it.
Yes,
but...
don't spoil it, though, yes. Because this is worth watching. So try to be a little bit vague about it.
You are totally right that this is the climax of an entire character's arc. And I will say that it's simply they're gondoliers on Mars, right? And for some whatever reasons of the plot... Alice, who is this very shy, very timid girl, she has this whole kind of rift with her mentor where she doesn't want help and she wants to be seen as independent, and they're all kind of living in the shadows of these great water fairies who are their mentors, and then there becomes a situation where Alice has to sing, you know, like the gondoliers do in Venice. They're like, they sing while they're pedaling the boats, and this is not something that Alice has ever done. She's very soft-spoken. This is not something that we expect Alice to be able to do. And she, without like batting an eyelash, without, you know, any type of hesitation or anything, she just goes straight into it. Just a cappella. This is also all the more impactful because it's literally the Japanese voice actor singing the song, and the voice actor is not a singer, which matches the character, right?
And that's very interesting.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. A lot of times they're like a triple threat.
She was so scared of. I watched the behind the scenes stuff for Aria the Origination. This is all from the mouth of Junichi Sato. He was saying that she was so scared of doing this performance. Like, she trained so hard to do this performance, the voice actor.
Just like the character!
Yeah, just like the character! And then it's like 2 minutes of just the character singing this this beautiful, beautiful song. And if you've made it all the way through Aria the Animation, because Origination is the final season, if you've spent all this time with these characters, there is no single way you are not like absolute sobbing as this event happens.
And you have a Kari face at the end.
Yeah.
She has a square mouth.
The crying. Yeah. And they
all have different shaped mouths when they do that.
and it's not like it's a, oh, this is sad thing. It's like a Grave of the Firefly. It's like, oh my God, I've never witnessed anything in any amount of fiction that has affected me to this degree. It is what I would what I would call the perfect tonal moment in anime.
Not as perfect as the rest of our picks, though.
No. And once again, shout outs to Junichi Sato,
the GOAT,
who I have to mention every time I am on this podcast.
Why don't you get a body pillow of him?
That's what I should. Don't fucking tempt me, Nick.
Hey, requisition it from India or something, you know? That actually kind of reminds me of like the, what do you call that? When there's like a meta story to the story, like the actual creators.
Yeah, meta.
Art like kind of mirror what's happening.
Yeah.
In, I think I've talked about this before, but I memed about the Little Mermaid song, the Part of Your World, but that's almost the same story as this, except, well, the singer is actually a real singer, but there's like a scene in one of the documentaries where Howard Ashman is like, coaching Jody, what's her name? He's coaching her on like how to sing the song, right? Jody Benson.
Benson.
And, like, yeah, that's kind of similar to what you were talking about with Sato and the actress for goddamn Alice. Yeah,
right.
So bad with names, dude. Everybody, check that out. Check out that documentary, Howard Ashman. Disney has always been gay, by the way. which is good. Just saying.
It's a little gay, love. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Musical is gay. It's every single gay. One.
Every single musical.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
No.
All right. Yeah, you're like, no.
I say that growing up in theater. Anyways.
All right. And that truly is the GOAT insert song part of your world. Just calling that out. All right.
Okay, Danny, what's your last one?
No, it's Danny's turn? Danny's turn.
Yeah, because Kai went and then
no
Danny.
No skipping.
No skipperoonies.
So my last one is from Spy Family. It is, the song is TBD by No Name, who also does the music for Spy Family. Also do a bunch of the openings for NEDs for Dorohedoro. This is episode 5, and this is the scene where Anya gets accepted to Eden Academy, and this is kind of like her celebration thing, and Lloyd rents out an entire castle. And there's just this fighting sequence of pretty much a reenactment of Anya's favorite TV show that she loves to watch, which is Spy Wars. So, and it's pretty much just her kind of getting quote unquote kidnapped, and Lloyd has to be a Bond man, although in this reenactment, it's Lloyd man. So, yeah, this practically is my favorite episode of the entire show. It's so good. It shows like how embarrassed Lloyd is, like kind of doing this child's game, really, because he's, you know, you meet him as like this serious man and everything like that. Actually, we watched this for a watch party, and Kai, you were a part of that too. And I think you also liked this episode a lot.
Well, isn't this episode anime original, or like not original?
This is
like
an anime original, yeah, because in extended. The manga, this like scene is kind of like 3 pages long, and that's it. Yeah. So this is, yeah, this is an anime original. Yeah, so
this episode was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't even remember that there was an insert song or like a montage bit when mm-hmm. Lloyd's doing all the action stuff. I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the fight with Yor at the end. I thought that was my favorite.
Oh, the fight with Yor is great. And like the minute she tries to kick him, her heel of her shoe breaks, and then she just knocks out on the floor because she's funny. So drunk.
That's so funny.
Yeah, this song, I mean, No Name is great. I love listening to their songs. Excuse me. But like this, I feel like this song is definitely different compared to the rest of the composition of the show, because the rest of the, like the soundtrack of the show is kind of like that jazz spy kind of like a little bit. It reminds me of The Incredibles a lot. It's a lot of that 1950s
detective noir.
Yeah, like Dick Tracy kind of thing.
Yeah.
So whereas this is, it's a lot of guitar. It's pretty much like a punk song, really. There's also like the little tidbits on, you know, Lloyd using that like ball, that foosball gun or whatever, and he manages to hit Frankie in the face, and like Frankie is just really getting into playing the villain type of guy. So, but yeah, like I love this scene. I just want to see.
I just want to see more hijinks where Lloyd has to appreciate his family more, you know.
And I think honestly, this is kind of a good example because you know he cares. He doesn't want to blow his cover, so there's that. But also, you know, I feel like deep down he really does care about Anya a lot.
Right.
And then
like at the end of season two, you get that one episode where he takes Yor out for dinner or something. And you're like, family.
Yeah. I want more family stuff.
Family. Danny has a Vin Diesel themed list.
What are you talking about?
The other two are not related.
It's all about family.
It's all about family.
Isn't Meg's Bride family? Close enough.
No,
they're mailing.
Danny, you know what? Just accept my joke.
I will not.
Just accept my joke, please.
But yeah, I want to see Lloyd more like embarrassing moments, like I saw in this episode. I wish I did my research a little bit more on like who animated the scene that I'm describing and everything like that, where the insert song is, but I didn't. Anyway, so it is what it is. That's it.
Knockington.
All right, I'm gonna take another page out of the Shonen handbook, and Kai, fuck right, you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pee. Right.
This is from
fuck you, Kai, bitch.
My last pick is from Demon Slayer from 2019. This was episode 19, and the song name is Kamado Tanjiro no Uta by Go Shina. And this is the fight between Tanjiro and lower rank 5 Rui, which was one of the spider family demons. So this was kind of like probably climax in that first season. There's a few episodes afterward, but this is fucking this is my number one favorite shonen battle ever. Even above like the Dragon Ball Z battles and every other like Yu Yu Hakusho battles and stuff. Like this is my favorite single like episode battle in any shonen. And what happens is you have Tanjiro fighting. He sees Ryui abusing his sister Nezuko, right? And so she's all tied up and she's like in the spider webs and shit. She's upside down. She can't do shit. And he's like so hopeless in this moment. Like he's still like a new, he's not a Hashira or anything. He's still like a new Demon Slayer, like recruit pretty much relatively. And so he has to use his breathing technique, which is basically, I think it's like sun breathing, which is essentially what Hinokami Kagura is from the fire god. And he's like, he's using various techniques and various levels of breathing to give himself more power.
He uses water breathing.
Water breathing also.
Yeah, but then he, for this particular thing, he uses a. Well, you can.
Yeah,
say
throughout
it,
the show, they learn it, yeah. More forms, each of the characters. So yeah, and like what happens in the season or in this scene is like Tanjiro is like getting his ass kicked, and he's like he's literally about to die, and then he has like this flashback to his mother and his father and like them as kids, and she's telling him why his dad can dance in the snow when his dad is like basically on his deathbed, but he's still able to dance and do this like technique, and so like he channels it, and like Nezuko feels it too, and it's oh dude, I don't want to spoil exactly what happens, but like this is so fucking epic the way that they handle it. And like the music that's playing is perfect. And it actually plays into the end credits too. They don't do the Demon Slayer ED for this. This is the ED of this episode.
Uh-oh.
As they're battling him.
Uh-oh, that means it's disqualified.
It's not an ED.
Sorry, Nick.
But it plays into the ED, if that makes sense.
You know, and Kai, like what happens why don't you go
the fight technicality, it's got to, our anime dude. Music got quiz, to. If it plays as the eat and ending song, it's considered
all right,
an ending song.
All right, check it out.
Where's
the? Is it in the list?
Fuck you, Kai.
Too bad. Sorry.
Why don't you go fart in a fortune cookie, buddy? All right.
Okay.
It happens mid-episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, fart in a fortune cookie. Yeah, Sam's on my page right here, okay? You got the My Hero scene, which is great. I got this scene. You know, we're shown in sluts right
this
here.
This scene is so fucking awesome, dude. Like, God,
this is what put Demon Slayer on the map. The reaction YouTube videos alone have millions of views.
Of this, oh yeah, of this scene.
People
so
showing their
funny.
Faces when they're watching it. Like,
they're like, ooh.
And people are like all surprised. Demon Slayer's like, oh, it's one of the top on Mal now. Does it deserve it? I'm like, this episode does. Like, fucking A.
This episode does?
Yeah.
Fuck you, bro. And it's the first time you see him do, yeah, what Nick said, the fire breathing. He's doing a different form than what he's been doing the whole entire time. And it's like, oh my God. It's fucking cool, dude.
I want you all to know that Nick really means what he says, because he took off, he put that that one on instead of, I wish that I could turn back time. Now the guilt is all mine.
I thought you were going to sing Wonderwall.
Just make her own name.
Yeah, I thought about doing Come Sue Sir Todd from Evangelion. I already had enough Gynax on my list, so, you know, mix it up.
Had enough Gynax.
I actually think,
yeah.
I like this moment. I mean, I don't want to say more, but I like it just
That's
as much
crazy.
As that one.
Sure, sure.
Well, must be good.
Hell yeah.
You haven't even seen it, have you?
Yeah, you haven't seen it. So
you would, convinced Kai, me, I guess. Kai, you would like this scene, and I think you would actually like parts of Demon Slayer. I don't want to say the whole thing. You would like parts of Demon Slayer.
Sure. Dude, sure. Freaking, I mean, yeah, don't even stop.
It sounds good.
Peeing.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't gotta, just gotta pee on my cactus all the time.
I'm not hating.
You know,
I wanted to play Come Sweet Death. That's all.
I pee enough on my own cactus. All right, you don't need to pee on my cactus.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. You're petting Nick's.
You know what?
Raccoon
I like, however, way. I like in this whole, like when they're on Mount Nagatama or wherever they're fighting, like all the Demon Slayers have to work together. Nezuko is trying to help him out, and like it's all like about teamwork, and like they're all going beyond their limits and shit, which is every shonen, but you know,
yeah,
they do it good here. So they do it good.
They do it good. They do it real good. Okay, what am I, the last one? God damn it, dude! I got to do all the work around here.
I don't know. I got to find your list again. You keep getting smaller there for some reason.
4.5.
God damn it. Some honorable mentions.
God, I really can't see that. Holy shit.
Some honorable mentions. I want to fucking... Nick just... It's so funny. Like, one of the running jokes on our podcast is fucking with the show sheet while we're fucking recording. And it's always Nick just fucking around, adding emojis and stuff. He just keeps... Where it says Psalms list, he keeps making it smaller. And Nick's... I got to screen cap this and show you guys. Where it says Nick's list... It takes up the whole fucking, like, a third of the fucking page. Cause of the...
My list is not mobile friendly.
Yeah. So funny. No, dude, some honorable mentions I want to mention real quick that I didn't choose was Carolyn Tuesday. Songs from Carolyn Tuesday. Also,
just one song, all of the songs.
Yeah, like, if not one of them, all of them. Also, I was kind of banking on maybe Danny picking this, right? But, like, I didn't know, and I'm glad we talked it out now, because Kai made a really good point earlier about, like, how, you know, it's almost kind of like, an insert song is almost kind of like what you want it to be minus these few stipulations. And it's kind of hard because there's one thing that I'm thinking of, but I didn't put on my list because of this, but it's the, I forget the name of the song now, fake fan. But it's one of the EDs to Nana, and it's by the band, the fucking other band, not Blackstones, but you
Trap
know,
Trap Nest.
Yeah, Trap Nest, and it's you know, the I'm here waiting for you. You know what I mean?
Nana has it, good answers.
So
I mean,
so because it's a song by the band, they play it in the show.
Yeah. So,
but it's like it's also an ED, so it's like, you know, I didn't choose it. You know what I mean? So I didn't know.
Yeah,
how do you
I
do
mean,
that one?
There are definitely plenty of other songs that aren't the EDs in
right.
Nana.
But that one is so good.
It is good. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm cheating if I picked a Nana song.
Okay, see,
frankly.
Okay, then maybe it was okay then, because yeah, I didn't, I felt chod. I didn't want to chod, so you know. Also, my favorite insert song of all time, probably. But I didn't pick it because you can't find a complete version of it anywhere. But it's the one dude who's beatboxing telling Fu about Jean. in Samurai Champloo, and he's doing it on the back of his Tonto or Wakizashi, and he's like,
oh, that is a ton of good songs. I forgot about Samurai Champloo.
And then the guy's like narrating it, and he's like, and the name of this samurai is, and then he goes, Gene. And she's like, oh shit, did he say Gene? What was that? What'd you say? Gene. Like, you just, like, dude, just say the fucking name. Like, stop beatboxing for 1 second and just say the fucking name. Anyways, moving on. My last pick. This kind of goes with Kai's point about, like, the Kill a Kill song, right? Until My Body's Dry, right? Because that song counts as an insert song, but it plays a lot throughout the show as sometimes a background song, but also to enhance that scene in that particular moment, like, whatever, right? This kind of does the same, and this is kind of where I was like, nah, Kai has a point, though, because although they play this one a lot as background music, they play it during moments of, like, you know, in different arrangements also. There's one with vocals and one with not vocals. Strangely enough, too, in the Japanese subversion, in one moment it has vocals, and in the dub version it doesn't. So I don't know why they did that, but they just did. But this is called Advice by The Pillows, and it's in Foolie Cooley. It plays often, probably. I don't know if there's an episode where it doesn't play it, and I'm talking about the first season, by the way. I'm not talking about alternative or progressive.
There is only one season.
There's only one season, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Fucking capitalism, just stomping on the grave of all of our franchises.
I did not mind the third one, I guess, but it wasn't.
No,
as good.
Never needed to exist.
I am excited for shoegazing grunge, but who knows? They also might suck. But anyways, yeah, Foolie Cooley. And the reason I chose this is for a couple reasons. It always happens to play at a moment where a robot from Medical Mechanica is coming out of someone's head. And it's just really ominous, like, da-na-na, 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 da-na-na. Like this punk song, you know? And it's like, oh, shit, sounds like some boss music's about to happen, you know? It's like, why do I hear boss music, you know? Fuck. And also because it was like one of the first Pillow songs I learned to play on the guitar when I was a young warthog. You can imagine, like, me being a weeb and also in a band when I was a kid. This show was like heaven to me. So I was like always trying to learn how to play like the music from the Pillows. And the Pillows, pretty much the show is only powered by music from the Pillows. There's only a few other like composed songs in it. But other than that, it's always the Pillows. They do the background music. They do the insert songs. They do the ED. That doesn't have an OP, by the way. It's just ED. The whole show is powered by their music. And it's just Advice. The reason I love it is because the particular version I'm talking about and the one I've linked is the arrangement without vocals. I don't know why. It's just, I don't mind it with the vocals. I don't know why. I just prefer it, the vocalist version. It works so well for the scenes that they're in. And it just, even just by itself, listening to it by itself while you're just chilling, drawing, listening to music, cleaning your house, whatever, it just gets you hype. I don't know, man. It's just really fucking cool. And I felt okay to pick this because of Kai's point earlier. It's like, yeah, but it's like, you know, it's whatever we want it to be. You know, like these songs from Kill a Kill, they play often throughout their show too, but they're still insert songs and they're still, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And I'm like, no, that's true because they do that in Foolie Cooley with the Pillows, right? So I love this song, man. It's so good. And every time it comes up, some shit is about to go down.
You know, why didn't you pick Little Busters?
I debated really heavily on which one's which. But Little Busters almost is like... Little Busters is another one I learned to play on my bass. And I just like... The song Little Busters always caps the major event that just happened in each episode. When the robot threw up Nina Mori and was about to explode.
Yeah, I remember that.
After Atomisk runs away, it plays. And so I kind of wanted to find one that was more in the moment, and Advice is that one for me. So, yeah. I love that whole soundtrack is really good, you know, but that song in particular, it's just when you hear it, the way the camera shakes and the way that, I mean, that show is animated so well anyway, but like the camera, it's almost like you're watching a music video, like in that moment when the song plays. And I don't know, man.
The whole
just,
show is a music video.
Dude, yeah,
much.
Like it's kind fucking of, good, kind man. Of. Kind of. But like,
here's a question. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry, I'm done. You're right, I'm done. You're good.
My question is this. Do Kai and Danny like Fooly Cooly?
No, they hate it.
You don't have to. I'm just wondering if you do.
They don't like it.
I'll say I appreciate Fooly Cooly, I guess.
Oh, my God.
I don't have any affinity towards Fooly Cooly, but, you know, I get it. I get.
Yeah, well, I don't got any affinity towards your ass.
That's fair.
What about Danny?
No, Danny likes it.
I like Fooly Cooly. I mean, probably not as much as the two of you, but I definitely, I mean, I love the Pillows as a band, not just because they're in Fooly Cooly and stuff.
Yeah.
Their music in that show is
Their music is
amazing.
Great.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows you got to watch when you're younger, honestly.
Yeah, that's I think what it is. Is like it
Did
captures,
you watch it too late when you're like 30
or
something?
Exactly. It captures this like adolescence thing that doesn't match my experience and doesn't match what I think life is about. And I'm kind of just like, nah.
Friends? Who has those? just kidding. Just kidding.
All right. Well, if Sam got to do runners up, then I got to get like 2 minutes here to quickly go through all the other ones that I did not include. Sound of the Sky episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Servant of Fire. It's in French. It's great. We got DC Rock from Penny and Stocking. The music video in Penny and Stocking, season 2 coming out. Hyped. The entire soundtrack for Penguin Drum and all the insert songs like My Father's Shoes, like Ikarachi Matase. Shout out to Snowman, who watched the Penguin Drum rebuilds with me. We have Zombieland Saga Revenge. You guys gotta watch Zombieland Saga Revenge.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. That was one of my honorable mentions too, but I haven't seen Revenge yet.
Right there.
Good.
I haven't seen Revenge yet.
The second season has Junko's Angry Metal song. It's called Gecko Survive. It starts with Taiye doing a drum solo. It's the best thing I've ever seen. It was literally the hypest thing ever. Also saw Beef Stroganoff from Symphogear. I don't know where you were at on that one. I don't know what you're talking about Fooly Cooly for when Symphogear GX is right there.
I don't think I got to GX.
You didn't get to GX? I thought you were a fan.
I know, I fucked up.
Oh, man. All right, well, all right.
Jeez. No, GX is the third one, yeah?
GX is the third season, yes, that's correct.
Okay, I didn't finish it. I probably didn't get to that part. Yeah. No, I fucked up.
We said all the other ones. Magical Doremi episode 45 with Santa Claus where they all sing Jingle Bells. That one's hot as fuck. Power of Love.
Cyberpunk End Runners.
Which one? Cyberpunk?
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I really want to stay at your house. We said it like 10 times.
Yeah, we talked about that in the beginning.
It's good. It's really
you know
all
what?
Day with
didn't
it.
Hear you.
It's really good. And also Danny, the Power of Love from the dub of the Sailor Moon R movie. You gotta believe in the power of love. So good. And then my last one is Watashi no negai goto ga kanau naraba. And if you know what that is from, you're probably wrong because it's from either Evangelion or K-On.
You're probably wrong, dude. I also forgot to say Detroit Metal City, dude. You ever watched Detroit Metal City?
Detroit Metal City. Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna pick that.
I did. I
or totally Beck. Forgot what about Beck?
Beck.
Beck. Yeah.
Shit. See, we can do a whole other episode of this. Let's start out now.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Okay. Let's do it. Okay. We're gonna just cut it right here, and we'll start
and
again.
You guys
hey, welcome to the Anime Sound
do
Podcast.
The insert songs.
No, I just don't like doing them on AMQ.
Oh, you guys
it's
are
always
no
bullshit.
Fun. We had a good time doing insert songs.
We had a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah. Well. Oh no, when it was multiple choice, I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Danny and Nick? What about you guys? You guys got any
Space Dandy?
Mentions?
All is all musical episode. How about that?
I don't remember that one.
I think it was season 2.
Oh.
There was a whole. It was an episode that was a musical.
Oh. Nice.
With memes.
Nice one.
There's an insert song in Fruits Basket of season 1, episode 5. I can't remember the name of the song. But it's when Toru it moves back in with her grandfather, but then like her family is like slandering her because she was living with Shigure and like Yukin Kyo. Like they hired a private detective to investigate her and stuff, and there's this really good song that plays, and it really sets the mood on, you know, how Toru really feels. She doesn't feel comfortable living with her family. She felt a lot more comfortable living with the Somas. So, yeah. It's a really good scene. And okay, another honorable mention. This is from the Oh My Goddess movie. The very end when the sisters fight the big ass like tree, and their freaking angels are like gigantic, angels, and they're singing that song. I can't remember the name of the song, but that scene is so good. I love
nice
that
one.
Scene.
Nice one. Nice one.
That's it.
All right. Great episode,
Initial
guys.
D. Initial D, everybody. I put that in my OST episode, so I didn't pick any of them.
Look,
running in the 90s.
Look.
Gas,
one of the
gas.
One of the most best memories I ever have is going to the mall and going to my job at the hobby store, waiting for people to get there to play HeroClix. And I would go to the arcade. I'd leave my stuff at the store and go to the arcade, put in a quarter in Initial D, put in my ID card, my Mitsubishi Evo Lancer, and nothing beat hearing Space Cowboy going down Mount Akina on that bitch, dude. That was a good car. That was a great car. I had so many points and upgrades on that car, and I could never play it again. Gotta find out.
Gotta buy the arcade system.
I gotta buy the arcade system, dude. That's what I'm saying. Anyways.
One more that you guys didn't talk about. Gurren Lagann, Libera Me From Hell.
Roll, roll.
Anybody?
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
Yeah, dude.
And then also the songs from Clan Ed. Ancient Skyori.
That should have sucked.
And every Ghibli movie.
Okay, we could do this episode again some other time, okay?
And Berserk.
We'll have a different guest next time, now that Kai has given us the lowdown on the insert songs. Thank you, Kai, for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, once again, go over to youtube.com/clearandsweet and subscribe and watch all the stuff.
Link in the description for Kai's Clear and Sweet channels, okay?
Yeah.
That being said, I've been Sam. That's been Danny. That's been Nick. That's been Kai. And I'll take you out with the best insert song in a movie from Karate Kid by Joe Esposito. You're the best around. You're the best around. Kai, where's the fucking guitar, dude? Where are you on that one, dude? Come
just
on.
Play Wonderwall while he's...
Yeah, play Wonderwall. Yeah, just play Wonderwall.
You're the best. All right, Sam. Hit it.
Today, they're going to be...
No. You're supposed to sing Karate Kid.
Oh, whoops. Fucked up.
Everything is Wonderwall.